Franklin Matters Radio Show, number 656 in the series. This year is my conversation with Town Council Chair Tom Mercer. This is one of a series of conversations meant to provide a recap of the prior Town Council meeting, akin to one of the many sports post-game analysis broadcasts we're all familiar with here in New England. This would be a discussion focused on the Town Council meeting of November 10, 2021. Okay, what just happened? What does it mean for Franklin residents and taxpayers? In this discussion, we cover the following key topics. The town clerk, Nancy Dinello, was sworn in, and then she swore in the town council. The town council reorganized itself by nomination and vote. Appointments of four individuals to the cultural council were approved. A review of the open meeting law was provided by attorney Mark Sorrell. The council closed the meeting, entering executive session to discuss the latest on the Prospect Street property, and did not return to open session. The meeting recording runs about 24 minutes. So let's listen to the recording of our town council quarterbacking session on Friday, November 12, 2021. All right, Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, anywhere on the internet at WFPR.FM and the local Franklin area dial at 102.9 on the FM channel. Today, on a Friday instead of a Thursday, but, you know, that's the way it goes sometimes. Our town council quarterbacking session to figure out what happened on the Wednesday night. Town council chair and reelected as chair as well. Tom Mercer, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you once again. It's a pleasure to be here on this very rainy Friday morning.
Mm-hmm. At least we're dry inside, right?
This is true. Could be worse. We could be dodging raindrops.
Indeed. And for the new listeners, welcome to this. For the regulars, you may understand we're about to do this kind of quarterbacking session to answer two key questions. You know, what just happened? What does it mean to us for Franklin residents? So thank you for taking time. And as I alluded, because the election was November 2nd and the first council meeting always gets a reorganization, the council leadership really didn't change, and thank you and congratulations to you for taking the helm again.
Oh, thank you, Steve. And obviously, I thank my fellow councilors for supporting me to continue as chair. I do enjoy what I'm doing, as I'm sure the entire council does. And obviously, having Bobby DeLocco as the vice chair and Glenn Jones again as the clerk keeps us striving ahead in the same kind of direction. And I think we've got a lot of good things coming over the next couple of years. And certainly in the not too distant future, there's a lot of stuff coming up. Mm-hmm. Our agendas, we were talking about it the other day. I was talking about it with Jamie and just said, okay, here's a couple of things that we talked about bringing departments in. And he said, yeah, Tom, he said, but, you know, we're out into March already. And I said, So there's a lot coming up, agenda. That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
It is. And respectfully, having observed as I have, as long as I have and reported on it, there's a lot that you do cover legitimate. You've got some kind of minor items that come up on a regular basis, like the PEG funds, et cetera. Mm-hmm. We'll get into a little bit more in terms of the appointments to do. You got some swearing in ceremonies for the new hires, et cetera, of police and fire that come in. And those are all good things. And then to help the awareness, you know, the departmental focus points, to have them in periodically. That, yeah, I think is really key to truly help the rest of the population, the residents, the voters and non-voters, but residents. How does Franklin work? What do we do? How do we do what we do? And they don't always get those insights. So when we have a department in, whichever department is, getting those insights, I think really helps a lot.
It does, for sure. And one of the things that I've asked Jamie to do is I'd like at least a department, and we can look at each one as they come up, but at least one department coming in for every meeting. So kind of rotating them through. And sometimes, depending upon what the department is, maybe you can bring two in. But it does get time consuming. And as you alluded to, there is some, for lack of a better term, a little housekeeping stuff that we have to do on a regular basis, hence the PEG access allotments that we have to vote periodically. So those those things take time. And, you know, to the benefit of the listening audience for these quarterbacking sessions, the meetings tend to go a little longer because there's so much of that we have to do. So if people are looking to maybe bypass some of the housekeeping things, they can tune in and listen to these quarterbacking sessions and get a 4-hour meeting in 25 minutes or less.
Right, right. Absolutely. And technically, certainly at the onset of the meeting, town clerk Nancy Dinello was officially sworn in. Actually, she was sworn in on the election eve as well, but that's okay.
What we wanted to do with that was just, you know, a ceremony in front of the entire community.
Absolutely.
So we
to confirm that at least, yes, exactly. It was official. Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. Absolutely. Then she swore in the 9 members of the council, 7 returning, and you've got 2 new members. And at least from what I know, Ted Cormier-Leisure is going to bring some of that cultural aspects, and Patrick Sheridan is going to bring his aspects. So you've got a new team, but somewhat of an older team, as we've talked, or somewhat of an experienced team. I don't want to be careful about that.
The only old one's me, Steve. But besides that, yes, we do, you know, and it's nice to have some history as councils move forward. I think it's very important to have the history so people know exactly the kinds of things, so that new council members at least get an opportunity to learn, because it does take time. I can tell you when I first started on the council, first year was mostly listening and trying to learn what our true role is, because it does take time to do that. So that's why I feel it's really important for us to maintain a group that maybe it's been on for a while and kind of intermingling with new members coming on. It helps breed for very workable groups. It just makes it easier for the administration as well as the town to continue to move forward and at the speed in which we like to move forward.
Agreed. And I think, you know, respectfully, especially the new folks, bring that new eye. Oh, why are we doing this? And those are all good questions. Yeah. But if you had 9 new people, clearly your meetings would be, you know, the 4 hours potentially almost every time. And, you know, that's a way of doing business. But if you can do it more economically, then why not?
So exactly. Yeah, for sure. For sure. But certainly I take the opportunity just to welcome back, you know, the 7 members that were reelected, and our 2 new members, Councillor Patrick Sheridan and Councillor Ted Cormier-Leisure. Welcome to the council. Mm-hmm. And we're off and running as of Wednesday night. We kind of had a week we had to postpone a little bit just for we check back into our into our procedures manual and notice that it's the second, a new counselor can't be sworn in until the second.
It's in the charter.
Charter, right.
That the new council starts on the second Wednesday of November,
exactly,
after an election. Yeah, and, so, you know, Granted, I think to a certain extent, that may be a little bit better explanation next time instead of having the cancellation come out as late as it did with as little notification as it did.
We all, you know, and I'll take responsibility for that because I just forgot all about that piece. And we were just trying to schedule out our meetings. Obviously, we scheduled the council meetings through November, last November.
Sure.
So, you know, it wasn't on the tip of our tongue then.
No.
But
no, it only happens.
I do apologize to the community for the late notice of the cancellation.
Well, you were keeping to your normal first and third Wednesday schedule, and you forgot that, oh, this is an election Wednesday. We can't do it.
Can't do that. Well, the good news is that we did catch it in time so that there were no issues. So.
Yeah, and we'll come back to that a little bit because I think Mark Serrell's eyes were probably in on that, knowing his legend of detail that he has as well. But the first key piece, and somewhat of the moving chairs and rotating chairs as well, that we alluded to a little bit, Ted Cormier-Ledger, people may recall, he had been on the Cultural Council, and then now with election to the town council, he had to leave the Cultural Council, which left the spot open. So there were four people to fill a number of roles on the Cultural Council, and those were all appointed on and approved appointments on Wednesday night.
They were. And again, these are always great things to do for us as a council, to confirm the appointments that Jamie has interviewed and chose. And it's important for us as counselors to thank these people for stepping to the plate and volunteering for these different committee and roles that they have. So we had four on Wednesday night: Venus Senjam, Patrick Kinner, Shelley Green, and Jacob Youngter, who is all four were unanimously appointed to the Cultural Council on Wednesday night. We welcome them to their new roles and look forward to the many great things that the Cultural Council continues to do. And I know they've got a lot on their plate as we move forward.
So. Mm. Yeah, we can spend some time on that and perhaps more in another session as well, because certainly one of the things that I've been trying to focus on as well with the additional time that I have now in my retirement, while I follow the money, council, school committee, FinCom, I also want to get at the quality of life pieces that following that money, what does it do to us? What does it affect that quality of life? And certainly Cultural Council in particular, we've talked earlier of, you know, the different events that they had, and clearly the downtown partnership with their events. There's a lot going on, and that certainly is important to our lifestyle, our community, you know, sense of community as well. So, yeah,
for sure.
A lot of work. And then segueing into back to the meeting, as we alluded to in terms of the charter catch on, you can't have the meeting until the 2nd November, Wednesday after an election. Attorney Mark Serrell gave an overview to the council and particularly to the new ones. But it's interesting, every time I listen to that, and I've had the opportunity to listen to a few of these, there's always something new that was like, oh, really? There are so many details that's good to have him around on a regular basis, because you have to be careful as to what you do when you're conducting council business, not just in the council chambers, but as, you know, citizens.
Absolutely. And it's and a lot of people don't understand a lot of the open meeting law restrictions that we as a council and we as councilors have to be very cognizant of what we're doing. And as we move forward, you know, a very simple one that comes up all the time is we get emails from a constituent. And a constituent might send be emailed to the entire council, which is generally what happens. Mm-hmm.
It's one of the forms available on the website.
Exactly.
Right.
So if a counselor were to respond and click on respond all, that's a violation of the open meeting law because it's discussion of an item outside of the council chambers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important. One of the things that I brought up is, far as how I like to handle things along those email lines, is I had a discussion with Jamie when I first took over his chair, and I said, listen, going forward, if we get a letter or an email from a constituent, it's very easy if we just forward it to Jamie, but then Jamie needs to respond, but in his response, state that Councillor Jones, Councillor DeLocco, Councillor Hamblin,
whoever,
Councillor Pellegrini, or all of the council have asked me to follow and take follow up with that individual and answer their questions.
Mm-hmm.
At least that way, the constituent understands, or the resident understands, that we all received a letter and took appropriate action by forwarding it to Jamie for the proper response.
Absolutely.
So I find that that's always the best way. Then if it's somebody you know, pick up the phone, you call them and you say, hey, listen, I forwarded it to Jamie. He'll be responding to you.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all good things. And it's so when a resident puts that in and sends it, I like them to understand that we can't always reply all because it is a violation.
Right.
And that's just one single piece of open meeting law. We can't get together. Obviously, we can get together socially, but we can't talk about council business if there's more than five of us.
Right.
One of the other very tricky areas, and probably the trickiest of them all, is social media.
Sure.
And Facebook.
Yes.
For example, somebody puts something on one of the town's, one of the websites, and there are many.
There are many, many Facebook groups.
Many,
absolutely.
Yep. And so somebody asks a question on that, and not looking for any specific person to answer. But if a counselor were to answer the question and let's say all of a sudden 15 other people answer it, then another counselor happens to see it, but the thread's so long, doesn't look through the thread to know that another counselor has, then that can be a violation of the open meeting law as well, if more than five counselors or if five counselors respond to the same question.
Yeah. Yeah. So the nuance is there, and it's tricky. I think one of the clarifications is, you know, if it's just simply, is the meeting at 7? Is the meeting on Monday? Those are relatively easy, but they can still be dicey because the key term, I think, is deliberation.
Exactly.
And what accounts for that deliberation? So, okay, if it's just the date and the time confirmation, maybe not. But then if the thread goes, and we all know these threads do take different ways. If the thread goes another way, then that's just opened the door. So, yeah, I hope.
Exactly.
And by this discussion, hopefully people will, if they need to, go back to the recording, the video, and play that section. I'll pull that out separately because it is worthwhile to look at, and I think Mark had both the PowerPoint presentation and some additional documentation. It may be heavy reading, and maybe, you know, reading you want to read before you go to bed, et cetera, sleep-inducing, but it's important stuff, and we need all need to abide by it, and we need to help you as opposed to, you know, tagging you, you know, hey, we need this answer.
Exactly. And listen, you know, if any resident has a question that's important, they need an answer very quickly, pick up the telephone, call us.
Or use the form on the website.
Or use the website. Yeah, or use the website. Exactly.
Yeah.
There are many ways to get in touch with us as individuals. All of our information is on the website. So if people need to, they can certainly get to us, or they can call the town administrator, and his office will certainly respond immediately.
Right. Because it's not that you don't want to do business. It's not just you're not going to give them response. It's just certain channels you can't do it in because of the problems it can cause. So use the proper channels and go that way. And I'll take the extra minute to remind folks that, Franklin Matters is leaving Facebook, but Franklin Matters is not going away. And one of the aspects of it is that Facebook, respectfully, is just not as a good place, period, for a legitimate discussion. It's good for connections, and I'll still be on there personally for family connections. But from a Franklin Matters perspective, the feeds are coming off effective the end of the month. There's a whole bunch of ways to find out what's going on. Franklin Matters will continue, just not on Facebook. Slight plug in there. Getting back to the meeting, you did go into executive session to discuss the latest status on the Prospect Street property. And I know you can't say much, but that at least was an acknowledgement that you closed the meeting that way and then did not return to open session, rather.
Exactly. And clearly because of the executive session, here again, it's another piece that it's important for people to understand when we go into executive session, there is a reason, because it truly can affect things moving forward. So all I can say is we did go into executive session to discuss the Schmidt property on Prospect Street.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, more to come.
More to come. Yep. So stay tuned. And in speaking of tuning, with the next meeting, the 17th, next Wednesday, we'll be back at it again fairly soon.
Yes, we will.
Yep. And I think from the FinCom meeting, it sounds like there's some budget adjustments that are coming up to the council. So we'll give that much of a teaser that, you know, we'll get into the budget pieces.
Exactly. There are some pieces that will be coming up on Wednesday, and that the FinCom met this past Wednesday night prior to the council meeting. In fact, a lot of council members were there to hear the discussions there. So that information will be coming forward on Wednesday. So please tune in or tune into our quarterbacking session on Friday. I think we're going to do Friday again next week.
Yeah, we'll record it Friday again. And it'll generally be available over the weekend because of our production cycle. We've got to review these and edit these and put it out in an appropriate package, right?
Exactly. And I'll take the blame for next Wednesday, next Thursday, changing to Friday.
It's not a blame. It's a scheduling piece. It happens on both sides. So
true.
As long as we get to it, we get to it appropriately, that's fine.
Exactly. And I really look forward to these sessions. And I think they're providing a service to the community that is growing. And I think our audience for these quarterbacking sessions continues to grow, and I hope it will. And I look forward to, again, going forward with these as we move into 2022.
Yeah, we've got, we can get into certainly the full budget cycle, which as I've recall now, the town departments are going through their capital planning and initial pass on the operations. And clearly later this year, the FinCom will start getting into the capital budget, which will then come to the town council. And then we'll get into the real budget cycle in early into 2022 for the FY23 budget at that point. So, yeah. Life goes on, work continues, and oh, by the way, you still got to go to work today. So thank you for taking some time now to give us the short story on what happened on Wednesday night. And well, certainly, given the weather, stay dry.
You as well, Steve, and thank you. And look forward to seeing you next week.
Absolutely. And to all the listeners, thank you. We do this because Franklin matters.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.